So I ask you tonight, Father, that everything is said will be said by you through your Spirit, through this vessel. And Lord God, forgive me for my sins. There are many. And I ask you, Father, that truly you will be heard tonight. And all that will be done will bring glory and honor to you. So, Father, have your way this night. May our hearts be prepared to receive what you have. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We're still in Ephesians. We're still in chapter 1. I'm going to start in 15 and hope to finish through 23. And if I don't, you still have to love me. That is a command. What I'll do is we'll read through it, seeing we don't have music tonight. I'll just read the whole thing and then go back and pick out some nuggets here.
What verse you started?
15. Yeah, it's right after 14. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Now, Paul, he also has a prayer like this in 3:13 through 21. We'll get to that, I'm sure. But Paul always is praying for everybody all the time, always mentioning that. That was a big part of his life. And I'm coming to the delusion that it's a big part of all of our lives, but how often are we actually in prayer? And I know in my own life that I don't pray enough. If I could get half the prayer in that my wife gets in, I think I would be pretty happy, because she has something to pray about all the time. You know, she's living with me. But I figured I'd get that before you said it, Bob. Camel knees. I know James was like that too, someplace. I read that about James, but I never read it about Paul. That's pretty neat. Yeah, well, if you look at his life, everything that the Lord allowed him to go through to bring him into that place where God could really use him the way he used him, I don't think I could even take a third of what he went through. But then again, we look at if God is in it, all right? If God is in it, if God's behind it, regardless of what happens in our lives, we'll get through it. And it's, well, Gary and I were talking before that Jesus called us to rest in him and not to strive, because he did all the striving for us. And we're just supposed to rest in his grace, his mercy, in his love, and he will bring around the final results in our lives. But so often we strive to please him. But the only thing that pleases him is our love for his precious son that gave his all for us. And all he wants us to do is rest and let him work out the knots in our lives. And take that cord, take all the knots out, make it nice and straight for his glory and for his work. Because if we want to do his work, if we want to do his will, then we have to trust him and rest in his grace and mercy as his Holy Spirit leads us. And that's what this is all about. Paul allowing the Holy Spirit to work out in his life the things that it needed. And he was always praying for the saints, because Jesus said that if we love the Lord, with all our hearts, minds, and souls and love one another, we have fulfilled all of the commandments. And this was what Paul's life was all about, his love for the Lord and his love for all the saints, because he used the word saints here often. And I was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking when I first opened up about saints. The saints are alive. We're alive saints. We're not dead. We don't have to wait and die and have somebody say, well, Mikey's a saint, Joe's a saint, I'm a saint. No, we're saints now in God's eyes because of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Amen? So anyway, and I guess title this Prayer for Understanding or Wisdom, whatever. I guess we'll talk after to get the label on there. But anyway, and we pray for understanding in verse 17 through 18a. I'll read it again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and through 16. 1 Corinthians 2 starting at 9 through 16. We probably know this by heart. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural mind, man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And this is, you know me well enough by now that I stress the Holy Spirit, free reign in our lives. Because without the Spirit, we have no knowledge. We have the knowledge of the world. And we see where the world's going. And I think I said this last time too. I'm glad Trump got in. And you're going to see some changes. But my faith isn't in Trump. It's in the Lord. Because Trump is still a man with a sinful nature. Amen? And power, he's always had power and money. But now he's got the greatest power any man can have in the United States, the president of the United States, and that's a lot of power. So we don't know what effect that's going to have. He's made a lot of promises, and I hope a lot of them come true. But I can't put my faith and hope in him. Because the world still is heading for that globalization, one world government, that Satan himself empowering one man. And that's going to happen. So if we're looking for salvation from Trump, you're looking in the wrong area. We have to keep our eyes on the finished work of the cross in this book here that tells us. Because it's going to happen. No man can stop it. It will happen. It's in God's plan. Yes, sir. All things. And this is sometimes we forget. And I was listening to one of the stations they were talking about. If you remember the Israelites in the Old Testament, as soon as they started getting prosperous again, what did they do? They forgot about God. They turned away. On and on, over and over and over. James, you want to say something before I get finished? Okay. But it happens. And it's the same thing. You remember 9/11, right? The churches were full. 3 months later, they were like they were before, like it never happened. And that's where we, as believers, And we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He dwells within us. And he's constantly speaking to us. But we have to be constantly listening. I was sharing with Gary some more earlier. I'm not going to go into all of it. But there's a spiritual battle, and it's going to affect each and every one in this room. So we have to stay on guard and be listening for that small voice of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus instructs him, he instructs us. And that's the whole plan. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the directions that the Holy Spirit gives us are the directions from our Lord and our Savior, the one that suffered and died for us. Amen? So we have to be constantly vigil, listening to that voice, because he's always speaking to us. He never lets us alone. But so often, we get into the flesh. There's things we want. There's things we want to do. And instead of listening to him, sometimes we just go ahead and do them. Amen? And there's nobody that's in here that doesn't do it. If you're not doing it, you're dead. And I don't see any dead people here. I don't think you're dead. Raise your hand if you're dead. All right? So the spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. And we have to understand that the spiritual truth can only come from one place. Where is that? That's right. It has to come from him. We can't discern it because we have a sin nature. We have a sin nature, and it's going to be with us till we see him face to face. So as long as we have the sin nature, there's going to be that struggle back and forth, the Holy Spirit and our sinful nature. It's a constant. Our spirits were dead in trespasses and sin, but he came into our lives, and now our spirits are alive. See? But then sin nature is still there. And I went through it so much this last month, and it finally come to a head just the other day, a couple days ago. But God in his mercy, I was telling Gary last night before I went to sleep, it had to be the Holy Spirit. Read Romans 7 tomorrow when you get up. So read Romans 7. It's everything in a nutshell there. We're still striving. Paul was striving. And we will strive. And don't ever think, get so proud that you think you're going to, I've got it all. I can do it all. There's nothing that I can't do. I'm not going to slip. I'm not going to fall. Just that quick. Because the enemy of our souls is constantly striving to get us back where we were before Jesus Christ came into our lives. Amen? So all this, the spiritual understanding, it has to come from a supernatural source, because in ourselves, we will never understand the things of God. We will never understand his will. And we can't really truly understand his love, because that's supernatural. Our love is tainted. Our love is tainted. His is pure and holy. But to understand that, it has to be the Spirit working through our spirits, in our hearts and our minds. Amen? So he wants us to have this spiritual understanding, and only he can teach us. He alone, and not ourselves. By this word, every day when we read it, every day when we're talking to him. People call it prayer, I call it talking, because that's what it is. It's talking. And he's listening, and he never stops listening. And he never stops loving us regardless of what happens, regardless of what I do or what I don't do. His love is steadfast. He remains faithful always. And it's that way forever and ever and ever. And that's the beauty of his love. If we can grasp that, no matter what we do, even when we get rebellious, he still loves us. And I was thinking about my grandson, the rebellion in his life now. But God still loves him with an everlasting love. And he's going to bring things about. But it has to be done supernaturally. You can rant and you can rave and you can say all of this, these platitudes and everything, but it's still supernatural. It's a supernatural work of God himself, just like it was a supernatural for us when he came to us and revealed his love to us. That was supernatural. That was from above. And we had the choice to say yes or no. Amen? But it come from him and him alone. So to understand spiritual truths, we have to understand the author of the book. the author of the book, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Verse 18b, where was I here? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What did Jesus inherit when he arose from that grave? Anybody know? What did Jesus inherit? The world, everything. There is nothing. We are his once again. Because we were his. Adam and Eve were perfect. Perfect. See? So now we are brought back in. So our inheritance is full and complete. Everything that he has, everything that he is, we will be as he is. That is beautiful. The riches. Oh, it is. And when we think of riches, we're always thinking of material things. We do. That's our first focus. Oh, goodness gracious. But that spiritual richness that is ours. Life eternal. Life eternal. No more pain. No more heartaches. No more suffering. No more crying over our kids and our grandkids or loved ones that are leaving. None of that anymore. Because there won't be any sorrow. It's all going to be perfect love and grace and mercy. Perfect. I can't understand that. But I know it's mine.
No more trips to Walmart.
You got it. Oh, I should tell you about my trip today, but I'm not going to. I forget where I heard this, but it's true. It's scriptural. But born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. Oh, glory. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful saying. But all of this is done through the Spirit, not through ourselves. If we try to be good, trust me, if you try to be good, come back and tell me what happens right after it. That's right. Yeah. Paul says what? Everything I want to do good, I do something bad. The law shows us. See, but the law was perfect. The law was good to show us how sinful we are and how much we have to rest in his grace, rest in his finished work. If he saved us, which he did, right? He saved us. He saved us from the pit. He saved us from that second death. But now he's going to leave us on our own to make ourselves perfect? I don't think so. Because we can't be perfect. I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. And I'll never be perfect till I close my eyes for the last time and I see him in glory. So all of this is ours. All these riches that he has are ours. But the greatest thing is that I'm born again. I'm born again with that promise that I will see him as he is. That is the true riches of inheritance. Everything else is icing on the cake. Speaking of cake, lemon. So, all right? I had to get that in. Did you know the hope of his calling? God chose us in Christ before the foundation, of the world. Amen? He is our blessed hope. He called us. Let's look at 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That's the calling. He called us. We didn't call him. And that night he met me. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. He called me that night. And I'll never forget it. Never forget that night. No matter whatever else happens in my life, I knew that night. It was almost as good as the night I knew I was going to marry her. But I knew that night without a shadow of a doubt. And it was like, I just can't explain it. Well, you all know. You all have your own experience. But I'll never forget that night. His calling. He called me. I didn't call him. A high calling. Philippians 3:4. It's a holy calling. Philippians 3:4. Is that right? Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was a high calling, holy calling, 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And then Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. So do you see this whole theme that we're trying to put together here? If God saved us, if Jesus Christ finished that work in the cross of Calvary and completed it when he rose and went to be with the Father, isn't he going to work out our purity in his way, in his time? Because everybody has a part of themselves that God is going to cauterize. Yes. Yes. And at times it hurts, but it has to be done because he wants holy. He wants pure because he is holy. He is pure. And he doesn't accept anything but 100%, and he will make it available. He will produce it in our lives. And that's where I make so many mistakes. What is the hope of his calling? I see it in my life as he wants me in a certain position that I will be totally committed to him 100% all the time. And I really don't see that happening in this life, but he's going to work it out somehow, some way, that truly, before I close my eyes, I'm going to be in that position that I can honestly say, Lord, I am totally yours 100%. I hope everybody in this room wants that for themselves. Because there is no joy, there is no peace without that total commitment to him. Because every time I fail, I feel so rotten, so filthy, knowing what he did for me and what he wants in my life. Yet I still have to struggle. And that's my fault. I'm struggling. I'm supposed to rest. I'm supposed to trust him that he's going to work it out. Does anybody want to say anything at all? Please, open forum here. Nothing? All right. Keep me going, huh? Let me read this, because this is good. I want to read this in his words, one of the commentaries I've been looking at. And it's just what Gary was saying. We not only have an inheritance in Christ, but we are an inheritance to Christ. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. See? By hands. But now in Christ, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual birth. It's something that nobody had any part in except Christ himself, revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole point is it has to be the fullness of the Holy Spirit working in every aspect of our lives, whether we're working, whether you're a loafer like me, whatever we're doing, our whole life has to be centered around that finished work of the cross. We cannot separate our lives into compartments. Well, work is one thing. It's all centered around Christ. Then everything fits together. It's just like a jigsaw puzzle. You get all the pieces, you put them together, and you look at it. And it's the same way. Leave out one aspect of that puzzle, and it's not complete, right? The Holy Spirit is that one piece of our puzzle. If He's left out of it, then that puzzle is not complete, and you never have that peace and that comfort and that joy that is ours. It's always ours. Oh, we're going to have sorrow. Certainly we will. We're going to stub our toe. Things are going to happen, but He's still going to be the centerpiece. He has to be. We cannot function in this life. I'm looking for a particular word. We cannot function in this perfect life without the Holy Spirit, of course, but I mean a completeness in our lives. I guess that's what I'm looking for. We're always looking for something to make our life complete. He is our completeness. So we should be looking to Him, looking to what He's already accomplished and what we know is waiting for us. We've got so much wonderful things waiting for us, but yet we're still focused here. I know I am. I still focus down here on things that I shouldn't, that have no meaning other than here. I want my focus to be there. I think I said this before. Maybe I didn't. If I did, I'm going to say it again. Some people say, well, you can be so heavenly focused, you're no earthly good. Amen. Amen. The more heavenly focused I will be, the more I will be able to do here for those that need it. You see that? I want to be so heavenly focused that every time I turn around, there's somebody there that I can help. But when I'm thinking of myself, or I'm thinking of that latte or whatever it is, you know, I'm thinking more about that than maybe the guy next to me needs somebody to talk to. But I'm focused on that stupid latte. I don't drink lattes anyway. I don't know why I said that. But you understand what I'm saying? We get so focused on the things that are here. And there's people all around us. Go down to Walmart. Just sit there and watch the people. Watch them. But you understand what I'm saying? He has to be the full focus of our lives. And it's hard. It happens to everybody in this room. We do. We get caught up in ourselves and what's going on around us, our little world, when the whole world should be our world, not just my world, everybody in it. And we forget that because we get so, you know what that's called? Pride. Pride. I'm glad I'm not prideful. But this is the whole point with Paul, that it has to be Spirit. It has to be the Spirit. And we're human. We fail. You said He's right here. He is. This is the whole thing. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. And He is always with us. But yet, we still fall into that trap because of our prideful selves. We think, you know, even the most humble of us still have some pride in us, because pride is sin and we have a sin nature. And that's what we gotta always try to remember, that our focus, our rest has to be in Him and Him alone, not in ourselves, not what we didn't do. Or what we did do, remember we were talking out there, His love never changes. No, never changes. It's constant. And we forget that. If we could just grasp that, get up in the morning, Lord, I know You're with me and I know You love me. And I'm going to screw up today, but You're still going to love me. You know? And then maybe we won't screw up. Or maybe I won't. I think I've talked enough. I didn't finish it, but I'm sure I'll get another opportunity to finish it. If we could continuously focus, I always talk about the Holy Spirit, and I always talk about the finished work of the cross. It's the finished work, because He said, it is finished. What is finished? Everything. He accomplished everything for us. Everything. It is ours. It is ours because of His accomplishment. So if we could truly learn to rest in Him, and I was doing this for a while, and this is the truth, before I go to Walmart, I would pray. I would. I'm telling you, I would. And then, you know, everything's fine. You're not praying. Then, boom, wham. But, you know, there's certain places that things happen. And people here, You got little places too. All of us do. Yep. And there's gonna be a lot of testing. And the more we, go ahead. Oh yes, the opportunities are always there, but we miss a lot of them because we're so engrossed in our little world. And I say our little world because I see people. They'll walk into me because they don't see me. I got in their space. So the world is full of that. But we are supposed to rise above that. And the only way we can rise above that is by keeping our eyes focused on Him, resting in Him, trusting in Him. Let Him work out our salvation. Let us just fall in His arms and trust Him. Amen. Father, I thank You again, and I hope what was said tonight was truly from You. And we love You, Lord, because You will continue to guide us and direct us as we're obedient to You, to Your Word, and to the Spirit as He guides us in our path here. Let us never take our focus off of You, our eyes off of You. You truly are our total salvation. You are our total inheritance. We are inherited. We are in You, and You in us. And whatever we need, we will have it because You have promised us that what we need, You will supply. And our greatest need, Lord, is a closer walk with You. And this night I pray it for my brothers and my sisters and myself. Guide us, Lord God. Take our hands. Walk us through this life according to Your purpose and according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.